Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Chamber Channel's Five Questions podcast. This is the place where we take a deep dive with industry leaders for an inside look at their world and how they can make a difference in yours. Mental health is at the top of just about every news feed these days. And Mental Health America of the Lowcountry is an agency dedicated to helping the underserved in our community deal with this important issue. And here to talk about their mission, their vision, as well as how we can all keep the workplace a little more stress-free, is Rob Pearson, the organization's executive director. Let's listen. So Rob, tell us what the Mental Health America of the Lowcountry does. Tell us a little bit about the organization.
Well, thank you, Charlie. First of all, it's a pleasure to be here today. The organization has been around since 1976, providing group mental health counseling services for adults in the Lowcountry. To be involved, to be part of the group, a person would have to have a serious mental health condition. They would have to be diagnosed with, for example, PTSD, bipolar, schizophrenia, some type of anxiety or depression. And this would have to come from after an assessment that would be done by a nurse or a physician that would warrant they being in our type of program. Our program is open. It's in Bluffton now. It used to be known as the Island House. Huh. So a lot of people may have heard of that, or Mental Health America, Beaufort Jasper. We've recently changed the name to Mental Health America of the Lowcountry, because we now have been out in new types of clinics in both Beaufort and in Ridgeland. So what happens is people will come in around 8 o'clock in the morning, typically Monday through Friday, and they'll be greeted there. And then around 9 o'clock, they'll start meeting with a counselor, and they may start for like a little exercise. They might walk around the building for a little while. Then in a group setting, and we might have 6 to 8 people there on any typical day, they'll be discussing items that really involve what we call individual resiliency training, IRT, which means that when someone, and all of us, we get knocked down, you know, throughout the day, throughout our lives, how do you react to that? How do you build up some type of resistance to that? And how do you continue? And, you know, the way you react to these things is really very, very critical. So we try to teach people how to react in a positive way, to avoid anger, to avoid any physical issues. And it really does seem to work very well. These folks have, some of them have been in our program for quite a long time, and they become best friends with people because the counselor will also check in with everyone. So they'll go around the room and ask, you know, how are you feeling today? What mood are you in? Have you been taking your meds? Did you get a good night's sleep? What goal do you have for today? And what about for tonight after you leave the program? So we're really, you know, trying to touch base with people. And the whole idea is to optimize someone's mental well-being.
There's such a shortage and there's such a need right now. I know you work on a number of fronts. Tell me a little bit about your work with Volunteers in Medicine.
Oh, sure. Well, we're thrilled that their Volunteers in Medicine is here, both on the island and in Bluffton, and covering all of Jasper County. And they offer, as you know, free services, medical services for everyone. Back in 2022, the leadership of both organizations realized and recognized the need for a bilingual, a Spanish-speaking mental health counselor. There has not been really anyone that puts themselves out there as an advertiser, promotes this type of service. So through the generosity of the Community Foundation of the Lowcountry, which, again, is just a wonderful organization that supports hundreds of nonprofits in our region, they were able to see the merits of this type of program. And they were able to fund for the first year and into the second year, having a person, a mental health counselor, that is on our payroll, the Mental Health Association of the Lowcountry payroll. Her name is Maria Renee Josie. She's a native of Guatemala. So she's a native Spanish speaker instead of, you know, someone who picked up Spanish as a second language. You know, she lives and breathes it. And she's just been a tremendous asset for our organization, and particularly for the both of them. At one time, they had a long waiting list of over 90 people waiting for mental health services. Most of them were part of, or are Spanish-speaking people. She's been able to work that list down so that it's now much more manageable. And she recognizes that the vast majority of these people who are seeking mental health counseling are women, and which is also a very important focus, you know, as they're such a nucleus to the family and the children, you know, well-being. So we're very pleased to be able to work closely with them, and we're looking forward to continue this program indefinitely.
Well, I look forward to the day when there is no waiting list for mental health care.
Amen.
I think having that Hispanic language barrier taken down, and also there's a cultural barrier in many ways. I think that's so great to have that on that front. I think, you know, COVID has obviously brought to the forefront so much the issues we have in this country with mental health and the importance of mental health. How do you find that that's changed? How do you see that integration happening now? Do you feel that more than before?
Absolutely. And you hit it right, on the nose with that. Mental health has always been in the background, if you will. People recognize when they have a symptoms of a flu, or if they fracture a bone, and they'll seek assistance medically, physically, to get that repaired. However, someone may have anxiety, depression, and they may not realize it, or B, they may not seek treatment. So now, I think since COVID, people are recognizing the need for more mental health services, consultations, programs available. It affects people at all different ages. It's really been documented very well about how children have suffered, especially the small children, suffered for a couple of years when they were not able to be active in classes, and when they're doing things remotely, and they weren't able to socialize, or, the quote, just be a kid. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done with them and people of all ages. So I think if there were one positive thing out of COVID, it was that it brought mental health more to the forefront, and that hopefully people will seek out and get over the stigma that has, I think, in our society has always been there for people in counseling. We really need to knock down that barrier, and people should be pleased that they're getting help that's needed.
Yeah, I think we've all seen that barrier coming down after COVID. And one thing that I think that's also transpired with that is employers are understanding, like, as you said, they're so apt to understand when you're not there for a broken arm, but employers have really sort of gotten more involved and more engaged when it comes to mental health. Talk a little bit about the support you've seen on that front.
Oh, sure. Like you said, it's critical that employers recognize the need for the well-being of their employees, both mentally and physically. And just because someone's not showing signs of mental illness or not, let's just call it not being mentally well, it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. So an employer, or even a supervisor, can do some simple things. The owner of a business can make sure that mental health benefits are included in their health plan, because a lot of people would avoid it if they have to pay a lot of out-of-pocket costs.
It's a big deal.
So that is, it really truly would be helpful. People, often behind the employer or supervisor's back will tell a colleague, I'm going to take a mental health day tomorrow. Well, why not be out in the forefront of that and just offer a mental health day? People can do this. Employers can do this very easily if they go to a PTO type of plan, paid time off plan, so that it bundles vacation and sick time and personal days all together. So if someone just wants to take the day off, they could use one of your PTO days. Check in with your employees, with the staff, with the team members. Ask them how they're doing and be very sincere about it. How was your weekend? How's your family doing? Did your child graduate okay? And how was your graduation? I mean, just take an interest in it and show some compassion. So show some kindness, and you'll be surprised how that will benefit not just the employee, but the whole attitude of the company of the department, and it could really help improve productivity tremendously by further engaging the employee, by approaching them in a more mental wellness.
Over the years, Rob, have you seen, is there a success story that sticks out in your mind of a patient or an employer? Somebody came to work with Mental Health America and came out of it on the other side in a better place?
Yes. There are some, and very, very interesting. Without breaking confidentiality, is this woman was in our program for a number of years. Unfortunately, she was subjected to both physical and mental abuse at home, and she really needed assistance. And our program was able to help her, realize, that it wasn't her fault, that she really does need to do something to improve her life. And she was able to essentially graduate from our program after a number of years. And just took the bull by the horn, so to speak. She left her partner. She went out on her own. She's a very productive member of society. And she wrote a book about this experience, and she credits Mental Health America of the Low Country for really helping her through this very, very rough patch in her life. She will come back periodically to us, and we call that peer support. So that people in our program that are currently there know her, they welcome her with open arms, and they'll learn from her how they can better themselves. So I'm glad you asked that question. It's we're very proud of that, and there are other examples of that also.
You change lives for a living, and that's not really a bad day at the office, Rob.
That's a pretty great day.
How can people find the resources? How can they find it if they need mental health care? How would they access that?
Sure. I think probably the best way would be to go first to their healthcare provider, be a person, a physician, a nurse practitioner, whomever they're getting their healthcare from. And talk to them, and talk to them very openly. That's the key. Just like you would tell a healthcare provider if you were nauseous or had a fever, well, let the person know about your mental condition. Are you hallucinating? Are you depressed? Are you anxious beyond a normal amount of anxiety? And maybe that person might be able to offer some type of resolution to that. And if not, once you've gone that path, there are other resources in this area. Coastal Empire Mental Health is a department of the agency of the South Carolina Department of Health. They have locations throughout the state, and locally on Hilton Head, Omega Smalls Francis runs that group, and she's just a phenomenal person and resource, along with her team, Francis Moody and others. And then we have up in Beaufort, the same office. There's an office from the same agency, Coastal Empire Mental Health, in Ridgeland and Walterboro and other places in the local area. If not through there, and again, they accept people regardless of their payment source, so they can be on Medicaid, they could have insurance, they could be self-pay. If a person is reluctant to go to a state agency, then I would suggest getting online and going to a website, Psychology Today. Most mental health practitioners will advertise, if you will, or they'll list a profile in Psychology Today. And all you have to do is go there, put in your location if you want someone in Hilton Head or Bluffton or whatever town you want or in that general vicinity. And also you can pick what issue you have. If you have a grief issue, if you just went through the loss of, a loss can include not just a significant other or a pet, but it could be you lost your job. You moved.
Have such an impact on our stress levels and our anxiety levels.
That's right. I mean, when you think of all the people who have moved to this area, well, the area that they left, I mean, they're suffering some loss now from not being with the people, what they consider back home, They may have left family, they may have left friends, they may have left a really nice support system in their former home, and now, you know, circumstances, they're in this region. And that is also another type of loss. So it might be advantageous to seek out some assistance for a loss in that situation. It doesn't have to be just someone grieving someone who passed away.
Yeah, well, gosh, Mental Health America of the Lowcountry, what a great organization. Thank you so much, Rob, for being with us and telling us a little bit more about it and its impact on the Lowcountry.
Well, thank you, Charlie. It's my pleasure. I've been there now for about 2 weeks, and I've fallen in love. I've fallen in love with the people, our clients. We have a tremendous nonprofit organization with a very good board, very supportive. And also, just been involved with some of the other local nonprofit organizations in the region. And there's just so much going on here. So I think we're all supporting each other and trying to benefit and improve the lives of people who live in this area.
Well, thanks for making a difference.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. The podcast continues to grow, and never miss an episode of our 5 Questions podcast by subscribing to the Chamber Channel on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take a moment to download, subscribe, and leave us a review. It helps us reach more people.